The head of the General Secretary of the National Bus and Rail Workers Union, Dermot O'Leary, has been very vociferous and actively looking for transport police to make sure that the safety of these people who are providing a good public service is maintained. He joins me on the telephone now. Dermot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the call. It's been a while.
It's been a while indeed. It hasn't stopped. Always been busy, I'd imagine. I was just listening to the last track there. I'm sitting around the corner from what was the old Adelphi cinema where the Beatles played. It's now called, anyone that travels to Dublin would know it, it's now called Arnott's Department Store, in fact. So, yeah, there's a big launch on there later on. I believe some plaque going up on the wall.
But yeah, that's right. You were there 55 years ago, weren't you?
I was on the planet, all right, but I was hardly outside the old Adelphi that day. No, I was not, sorry.
Okay. Tell me, you've been busy. You were travelling up the north yesterday, were you?
I was indeed. Yeah. I looked at it. There's a very good, I know we want to talk about this, but it's a very good campaign in the north. It's an ongoing campaign. It's a very good system where they have what's called a jam card, and it's a card with a jam jar, and it's jam written on it, but it's just a variation and a theme. It's just a minute, and it's for people with intellectual disabilities who can present these jam cards to service providers like public transport, a bus driver or a ticket checker, or maybe at a cash desk in a department store or something like that, where people that have these disabilities might need an extra bit of time to engage with the front of house staff members. It's a brilliant, brilliant idea. They're trying to bring it down south, so we become involved very early in it as a frontline trade union representing transport workers, and we're trying to embrace it, and we're hoping that the powers that be in the Republic will take it on board. And the message and the voice back from political parties and departments and the NTA is very, very positive. So hopefully that jam card, you heard it here first, exclusive on your station, Johnny. So it hopefully will run out in the next few months in the Republic.
So what's it called?
It's called the jam card. Just a minute. So it just allows people that with that extra bit of time, they can flash the card
okay.
to the bus driver, and the bus driver understands they have an intellectual disability and they might need the extra bit of time to find their ticket or find a few quid or whatever, you know what I mean? Just people with disabilities, they tend to panic, and it's understandable.
So it's an innovative thought and a good idea, and we've heard it first here in COI. Look out for it, and I'm sure we'll hear it from you first. Well, Dermot, you heard me in my introduction there. There was a terrible assault on a bus driver there recently up in Mayfield. I know you've been hitting the highways and the airways in relation to rail workers in up the country. It's something that's happening much too often now, isn't it?
Look, I suppose, Joey, look, again, people that listen to your show and people that travel around and people that look, read the papers or whatever, however they read their news these days, well, look, antisocial behaviour, and I call a lot of it thuggery, is prevalent. It's a societal issue, really, I suppose, across a range of demographics at this stage. But certainly my role is in the public transport, and I try to highlight the fact that both staff, and indeed customers now as well, to be fair, have been both verbally and physically abused and assaulted. And it's long since past time when the government and the guys at the National Transport Authority initially, and again, of course, the Department of Justice stepped up to the plate here. And I've written to both Minister Ross in Transport and Minister Flanagan in Justice over recent weeks and again over recent months with the Minister of Transport. Not demanding, but asking that some type of guard division, anyone that travels in the UK would have seen what we call the Transport Police and what they call the Transport Police over there. So we're looking basically for a division for public transport, which will be on trains, very visible, on buses as well, as it happens. And again, Joey, we would hope that something like that could be rolled out in the next number of months and into next year and would act as a deterrent.
How far advanced are the negotiations? Do you see it happening anytime soon? Will it be enforced before Christmas?
Well, no, it won't. At the moment, Joey, correspondence has been exchanged and there's positive vibes coming back. And look, like most things in the bureaucracy, the wheels turn very slow. Although when Shane Ross was a journalist, he was very critical of the same bureaucracy. He's now
Dermot, Shane isn't on the earth to defend himself. So
I'm sure if you invited him on, he'd come on. He's a good man to talk himself in favour. So, but no, look, I mean, the vibes are, to be fair to the man, the vibes are pretty positive coming back to his department. Obviously, there's going to be a resource issue when it comes to health and safety of staff in public transport, and indeed the people that use the public transport service, that there is no, the resource should not come into it. The government should move. But again, look, our campaign is going on. We'll continue to highlight the fact there was some serious assaults, as you described. And in fact, with that poor chap in Mayfield, is the son-in-law of a very good late friend of mine. And again, look, he's just bought one in Bus Éireann. We've had an assault up in Kilcullen in Kildare last week. A number of assaults on the streets of Dublin where bus drivers working with Bus Éireann will come back to the depot. We've had assaults, stone throwing incidents in Dublin bus in certain areas. We've had a stabbing incident on the DART, on the commuter train in a place called Hammerstone in North Dublin last week. And another rail, for example, between January 17 and June this year, logged 1,000 incidents of antisocial behaviour, some serious and some not so. But what's really concerning us, I suppose, as well, Jerry, is that some of the behaviour now without even being reported anymore has become normalised, if I put it that way to you. So it is scary out there in certain places. But again, I suppose I should say, there was a time we could point fingers in certain areas and say there were hotspots and flashpoints, and whilst they still exist, there is a very broad demographic in relation to some of the abuse being meted out. In actual fact, our colleagues on the trains in Dublin in particular will tell you that a lot of the abuse the people they suffer from end up walking off the train in Dublin, walking into high-rise office blocks. So, again, it's a very broad demographic.
I know from talking to the local drivers down here, we had the very successful jazz festival there 2 weeks ago, and Busairn ran late buses. Apparently, Diageo were paying for the buses, but there was no security on them, and there were issues on certain routes. Tell me, morale-wise, with your bus workers and rail workers, that must be only running it a lot lower than what it already is, is it?
There is concerns out there. Look, I mean, again, I don't want to overplay or overemphasise. Look, there are certain times in the day and even in certain locations where people can drive their bus or check their train, and passengers can travel with relative comfort and all that. But there are, look, there's no point in denying, there are areas and there are occasions, and you mentioned the jazz festival, and there's always occasions on matches and festivals and concerts where the prospect of antisocial behaviour is heightened, if you like. And again, I would see the Transport Police or the Garda Division being a very visible unit. And if people knew that unit existed and would have the powers of detention and arrest, for example, some of the security personnel that people might see on the Lewis and on some of the trains in Dublin, they don't have that power of arrest and detention. One would hope that a division like that in the Garda would, I suppose, dilute and prevent people from engaging in that social behaviour, would act as a deterrent, where over time people might, that they're inclined to do this because they can do it with abandon, might stop and might cease doing it.
Where are we on privatisation and outsourcing and everything in Busairn? Are we, like, you know, I suppose it's common knowledge among drivers and workers that Busairn seem to be running this thing to the ground, and they're looking at privatisation around the corner. Would you agree with those sentiments?
Well, I wouldn't totally agree the way you put it, because the situation is, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever your perspective is, the National Transport Authority or the NTA, now they run the transport system. Whether it is providing funding and issuing licences for what we call PSO, or public service obligation, or whether it is licences for the commercial service, the FACTI being in Ireland, going through you all there. So the NTA run everything to do with transport, from a bike to a taxi, to a car, to a train, to even how you walk and where you walk. So that's how powerful they are. There is a consultation process just finished last week by the NTA into possibly taking another chunk from Busairn up around the eastern corridor, Drogheda, Dundalk, Wicklow, that area, and obviously we would be opposing that.
Now, when you say opposing it, Dermot O'Leary, I know you a long time now, and I know unions. When you say opposing it, like, we're in the running out to the big Christmas, and
there's no danger to say the Christmas joy to come in. I mean, look, I know people, when they look at unions and unions opposing things, there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes in terms of engaging with both the NTA, the department, and the politicians, more political parties. And that is where, I suppose, the people that listen to your show and others across the country should be looking at, in terms of privatisation, those politicians that say they're anti-privatisation, saying it is one thing, acting on it is another thing altogether. We've been lobbying very, very hard with a lot of those political parties, and some have been very open and very honest and have made very public statements in terms of privatisation. And it's only yesterday I was reading in the Daily Mirror in England, in fact, where the privatisation or the deregulation, as they call it, over there outside London, has brought 1.5 billion of money, taxpayers' money, into private companies, most of them multinational. So it's a case, be careful what you wish for. But look, again, in the short term, look, morale at Busairn in particular, because of the dispute last year, it's taken a long time to lift that morale, obviously. But, I mean, the company is still there, and I envisage Busairn being there for many years to come.
Well, speaking of morale, Dermot, what do you say to people and families of drivers and families of bus workers with Busairn that say they felt let down by the unions in the negotiations after the last strike? You know,
Well, Johnny, I can say with that, Johnny, it's quite simple. The company that they work for and that we represent members in was a company that was being pushed over the cliff last year by indeed the NTA and by some of the managers that came in to manage that company. And it's on the edge of a cliff. And the options that were facing us as a trade union and the members that we represent, the option was very stark and very clear. Either you conform and become more efficient, because that was the premise and that was the reason why the dispute took place, because the NTA were using your money and my money and the people listening to the show, taxpayers' money, the finance was here. And the NTA were saying quite clearly that this company wasn't efficient enough. They were able to prove that to us, Jerry, unfortunately. And the bargain was at the time, either you become more efficient through the Labour Court recommendation suggestions and measures, if you like, or the company closes. That was very stark. Now, the job for me at that stage and my colleagues in the union at the senior level was to decide whether to call someone's bluff or to accept the evidence in front of us. And unfortunately, we had to accept the evidence in front of us. And again, look, without trying to rattle anyone's cages, we have bus drivers who are suffering in terms of long shifts. I accept that. You have drivers that are working, I suppose, more weekends than what they would before. But you still have drivers out there that are getting €20.11 an hour for driving the bus, far and away beyond what some of the privates that you mentioned earlier are getting. And hopefully we're going to try and build in that rate of pay for them. But some of the issues in bus air always are going to take time to resolve. And we're working on those, I suppose, on an hourly basis, never mind a daily basis.
Well, I'm sure we'll discuss that at another stage, but, Dermot, when it comes to light. Listen, finally, before I do let you go, because the clock has beat me, as Noel Cronin says here often enough, the clock, we can't, it won't wait for man or beast.
Really, man.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you the question that I keep on asking. You know, there's locals and Europeans and maybe general elections coming around the corner, with your profile being reached, raised every day on a daily basis. Have you thought any more about entering into the political field?
Sorry, I was anticipating this question from you. You should continue to ask me, because I enjoy when you would ask me. Because
so you're a union man.
Nobody gives you the opportunity, Jerry, to tell people, and to ask people, your listeners, I touched on it already, that we will very, very strongly, even though the NBRU, the National Bus and Rail Union, which I'm general secretary of, even though we're apolitical and we're not members, nor am I members of any political party, we will be issuing advice to our members and indeed anyone who cares to listen to us before the next local and indeed general election. And we will be looking at asking people to look at people who are pro transport, obviously, in the public ownership. We'll also be looking at people in the political, across the political spectrum in relation to all public services, because we obviously, and it's no surprise to believe that every public service from health to education to transport and all facilities that are owned by the state, the infrastructure should be retained in public ownership.
I'm sure, Dermot, look, with the highest respect, that's another story for another day. We will touch on that subject next time we talk around, yeah? Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be talking to then. Dermot O'Leary, thanks for taking the call. And I suppose we'll put out the call there to people that are travelling, especially in the run-up to Christmas. Be respectful for your drivers. They are providing a very valuable service to the general public. Be respectful, and if you notice anything untoward, I suppose, report it, yeah?
That's indeed. Look, be vigilant at all times, and look, don't hit there's no room in the society for heroes. If there's an issue that you're concerned about and you have a phone in your hand, either drop a text or make a call to the local garage station, whoever is on your speed dial. I shouldn't let the occasion go by congratulating Moakley. Grudgingly, I have to say my team, Blackrock, were beaten by another East Cork team in the city.
But sure, you see, the good will always win out, Dermot. You should know that now.
Look, we've plenty of them on the roll of honour, so we don't mind sharing them from time to time.
Dermot O'Leary, NBRU Secretary, General Secretary, good luck, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, in the run-up to the elections, all right?